Good evening. I can already tell you that probably we are going to be moving more toward the front of the tables than toward the back of the tables, and that's quite all right. I trust you are grown-ups and you will adjust as you need to adjust. But what I wanted to do was to go ahead and give a few instructions in the beginning. It may seem a little bit overwhelming, but as the service goes on, I will continue to give some instructions as reverently as I can, hopefully not to interrupt with any of the worshipful mood. But before I do any of that, just to let you know, Charlene Watkins is in Plano Presbytery. Fred took her to the emergency room this afternoon, and she has fluid on her lungs and is having problems with the AFib. And so Fred said it was perfectly fine to let us know. She is in Plano Presbyterian, Tower C, room 583, and we will put that out in the morning on the by email also, but just so that you know that. So we are grateful that Sean has stepped in to help this evening, and Fred sends his regards and says he will miss being with us tonight. One of the things, for those of you, I already see you've paid attention, you are sitting where you want to be sitting if you want to have your feet washed. I would, in just a few minutes when we get started, if I were you, I would go ahead and just take my shoes off and get comfortable and be ready to go back to have that done. If you are sitting here and at any point the Spirit moves you and you decide that you do indeed want to have your feet washed, come from wherever you are. You don't have to be that reserved. We can certainly move around. The foot washing will take place during the silent meditation. So depending on where you are, and someone will come and get you, so you don't have to worry about when do I get up and when do I go. Someone will come and get you. But you can either begin that silent meditation before you have your feet washed, or you can do so afterwards, whichever is easiest for you. The choir, when we get to that point, the choir will come down first, and those in the choir that want their feet washed will do so, and then they will go ahead and make their way to these two tables that are reserved for them. The elders who are serving communion, I will wash their feet next. And then those of you who wish to have yours done, I think Gary will be coming on this side and ushering you back if you want to have them washed, and I will be doing it from this side. So we will do three from each side at a time so that you can have a little bit of space and some quiet. I have in my notes here, I say, don't worry, we will walk you through this, and we will. For communion, our elders, like I said, are seated here. Elders, if we are not spread all the way to the back, certainly feel free to move your cups up and to help serve. We will serve, the elder will serve across the table. This person will serve the next person and the next person. And that third person will serve back across the table, here, and then up. So there are six people per table, three on either side. So, and if you don't remember that, just take the bread and the cup, okay? It will be fine. But sometimes we can organize ourselves too much. But so those are instructions, and like I said, we will walk through those. But tonight is a holy night. It is the night that our Lord met with his disciples and did much of what we're doing tonight. He shared a very simple meal with them, and we will hear how that meal played out and our complicity in what happens after that. But as we begin for tonight together, let us remember And be thankful because we know that Jesus remembers us. The Lord said, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. So in worship this night, we testify to God's love shown perfectly in Christ. Oh, taste and see, the Lord is good.
Thank you.
seated, please. God looks at the broken soul, and what God sees is an angel that is just aching to take flight. God sees our worst faults and washes them away in the waters of life. God hears our prayers of confession, and then God whispers these sweet little graces into our hearts. And so together, you are invited in silence to pray, confessing and being assured of God's forgiveness. Let us pray from our hearts. What is it that can sustain us in all of the days to come? What is it that is going to nurture our Lenten journey as it comes to an end? We know this, that through the love, the word, the hope of God in Jesus Christ, we have all of the food and all of the nourishment that we need. Through the wilderness and into the kingdom of life, God gives us this daily bread that we have for our daily journey. We have more than enough. So thanks be to God, who in Jesus Christ forgives us and who provides us with all our needs. Amen.
Join me in prayer. Gracious God, give us the wisdom of your Spirit to understand and receive the depth and breadth of the love that Christ showers upon us. Bless this reading of your word that we might be transformed by its grace. Amen. This reading is adapted from the Passover story and the Exodus. Almost 2,000 years before the birth of Jesus, the Egyptians held the Hebrew people in slavery. Their ancestor Joseph was now forgotten. The cruelty of the Egyptians was horrific to the point of Pharaoh's declaring that all male Hebrew children were to be killed at birth. Worked day and night, beaten, forbidden to worship God, the Hebrew people worshiped secretly in their homes. They remembered God's promise to Abraham that they would be as many as the stars, and so they cried out to God for their release. Gathered around their family tables, they prayed for strength, perseverance, for a way out of Egypt and the hands of those oppressing them. The more faithful the Hebrew became, the more brutal became their punishment. So God sent Moses to lead and shepherd God's people. Moses was afraid that he couldn't live up to God's expectations. God simply says to Moses, "Have faith. What you need, I will supply." In Pharaoh's hard heart, he could believe that Moses was a messenger from God. To get the Pharaoh's attention, God sent plagues to uncomfort and unsettle the Egyptians in their holy arrogance. Frogs, locusts, boils, water turned to blood. Tricks, says the Pharaoh. So God says, prepare to leave in spite of what the Pharaoh says. Get your traveling gear on. Take an unblemished lamb in an act of sacrifice, and place the blood of the lamb on your doorpost. Make bread, but hurry. It will not have time to rise. You will be leaving Egypt quickly. The Hebrew families gathered in their homes, and soon they could hear the cries of the Egyptian families. God sent the angel of the Lord, and every firstborn of all living things died. The angel passed over the houses with the blood of the lamb. With the attention of the Pharaoh amidst so much loss, he ordered the Hebrews to travel. But travel far they did not before the Pharaoh changed his mind, sending his armies in pursuit of the Hebrew families. The waters of the Red Sea parted. The people passed over to dry land. The army followed, and rider and horse were swallowed up as the water settled back in place. God never abandoned nor abandons God's people. God commanded the Israelites to celebrate every year this passing over of the angel of death. This Passover celebration was to consist of the sacrificing of a lamb, placing its blood on the doorpost of the family's home with a hyssop branch, and eating the roasted lamb along with unleavened bread and wine. In this way, the Israelites were reminded that they were the children of God, and that through the blood of the lamb that was slain, their lives were saved. It is this celebration, this Passover festival, that brings Jesus to Jerusalem. He sends a couple of his disciples ahead of him to prepare for the Passover meal and to find a donkey on which he can enter the city. On that donkey, many people, adult and child alike, greeted him as the Messiah, the one sent to free them from slavery for all times. They waved their palms, spread their coats on the ground like a red carpet entry fit for a king, and they shout, "Hosanna, Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
Invited now into a time of silent meditation and foot washing. Those of you who are in the choir who would like to go ahead and come down for foot washing or to begin silent meditation, we can do so now. was just before the Passover feast, and Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and to go to his Father. Having loved his own and those who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and that he was returning to God. And so he got up from the meal. He took out his outer clothing. He wrapped a towel around his waist. And then Jesus poured water into a basin. And he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that he had wrapped around his waist. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus answered, "You don't realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No, no," cried Simon Peter, "you will never wash my feet." "Unless I wash your feet, Simon Peter, you will have no part of me." And then the Lord said, "Not just my feet, but my hands, my head as well." This is what the Lord heard Simon say. "But Simon Peter," Jesus said, "a person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. And you're clean, though not every one of you." For Jesus knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said everyone was not clean. And so when he finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and he returned to his place. And then speaking to all of the disciples, Jesus said, "Do you understand what I've done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, because that's what I am. Now that I am your Lord and your teacher, and I have washed your feet, you also shall wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. And I tell you the truth, that no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him." Now, these things that he said with a blessing. "And this," the Lord said, "is a new commandment that I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you truly love one another."
Lord, have mercy, Lord, be so good. Let me be as Christ to you. Pray, Lord, I may have the grace.
On this night, we remember the bread blessed and broken, a sign of Christ's body given for us. And we remember the cup blessed and poured, a sign of Christ's blood shed for us. In this breaking and in this pouring, we remember that we are forgiven